Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio. This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Israeli troops have been pounding Hamas targets in Gaza today, at the same time as aid organizations are escalating their warnings about the plight of Palestinians there. More from CBS's Christian Benavides.
The World Health Organization calls Gaza's healthcare situation catastrophic. The head of UN's World Food Program warned half the population of Gaza faces starvation. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders echoing growing calls for Israel to minimize loss of civilian life inside the territory.
You can go to war against Hamas, but you cannot go to war against the Palestinian people.
And we've learned that the 193-member UN General Assembly is likely to vote Tuesday on a draft resolution demanding an immediate humanitarian ceasefire in the conflict. In October, the General Assembly voted overwhelmingly in favor of a similar resolution. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky will be in Washington Tuesday for the third time since Russia invaded his country. He'll meet with President Biden at the White House and with senators. More from CBS's Bo Erickson.
Biden and Zelensky are expected to discuss the U.S.'s military and financial support of Ukraine as the previously passed funding by Congress is running out. President Biden has requested Congress approve an additional $50 billion to aid Ukraine, but it is unclear if or when that funding will be approved.
Congressional Republicans say they want to know what Mr. Biden's plan is to secure the southern border before they approve more aid money for Ukraine or Israel. At least six people are dead after tornadoes ripped through central Tennessee yesterday.
It got black, and it was almost like being in a, like a vacuum cleaner. Things spinning around, it was loud.
The storms destroyed homes and cut power to tens of thousands of customers. Strong storms moved through parts of North Carolina today. So far, no reports of tornadoes. Donald Trump said today he will not testify on his behalf at his civil fraud trial in Manhattan tomorrow. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
This judge has already ruled that Donald Trump committed fraud in inflating the value of his real estate empire. The banks testified that the loans were repaid. A forensic accountant testified that the Trump Organization's financial statements are detailed and transparent. Perhaps the former president's lawyers believe they have a strong case on appeal, and Trump's testimony can only cause harm.
Closing arguments are set for January 11th. The big health insurance company Cigna is calling off its pursuit of Humana. Had the deal gone through, it would have created a $140 billion company. The Wall Street Journal said today the two companies couldn't agree on price and other financial terms. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Locally grown radio, WFHR programming, is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
The Deep Three.
Deep Three right in the circle. Badgers take the lead.
The Throwdown.
Down the lane and sends it in and one.
The thrilling victories.
Badgers win it. Oh, did they dig in defensively tonight?
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Fakes the three, sidesteps left for three, and the lead. He hit it.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Drives the lane, draw and kick, right corner, three. Got it again.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows dip down to about 17 tonight under cloudy skies. Winds out of the west around 5 miles per hour. 33 tomorrow. 22 tomorrow night, partly cloudy. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 22.
Good Good evening, world. Merry Christmas, everybody, and welcome to WFHR's Director's Cut for this December 25th, Session 6. Merry Christmas to everybody out there. Thank you for joining us for a Christmas episode of the show. Your host and program director here, James J. Maloff, with my partner in art, Seth Habager here. Seth, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to everyone out there.
And thank you for joining us not only for this Christmas episode, but really it's kind of a Director's Cut deleted scenes edition of the morning show, because we are bringing in really the class of our organization around here. Melissa Kay with us on the show today. Mel, thanks for joining us.
I'm glad to be here, gentlemen.
Really appreciate the time, Melissa. Thank you so much. I know we take from your time. You got other things you could be doing. Thank you for hanging out with us here.
I don't know what else I'd be doing, guys. You know, there's nothing I like more than hanging out with you two, even if I got to be on the phone.
Oh, she's good. She's good. She's good. I wanted us to, I brought this up about a month ago, really. I wanted to do this on the show here. I thought it'd be fun. You know, it's a holiday season. We're wrapping up the year at the same time, and all mm-hmm. these holidays kind of clumped in at the end of the year. Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Christmas, New Year's, all these things. Mm-hmm. Well, it got me thinking, what are our top five holidays? What are your favorite holidays? And since Melissa is our guest and a ladies first, Melissa, if you wouldn't mind kind of kicking this off, what are your top five holidays?
Okay, top five holidays in order. Now, I went with major ones because, well, you know, there's the major holidays.
Sure.
But so Thanksgiving, then Christmas, then New Year's. Yes, they go in calendar order. Okay. Deal with it.
Okay.
Then St. Patrick's Day and Halloween.
Oh, okay.
Oh, nice. Nice. Is there, because it seems like a lot of those involve, you know, celebrating. Is that mm-hmm. a big part of it for you?
Honestly, the biggest part of it is family.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's are all usually have, for me, a lot of family involved.
Mm-hmm.
New Year's hits the top because it was my brother Andy's birthday.
Oh,
cool. And so fun. It has some nostalgia for me. We lost my brother in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And so while it's a sad day, it's also a day to remember him. And we always try to reach out to each other. The whole family does on that day just to, you know, give even if we're not together, digital hugs, as it were,
yeah.
or,
mm-hmm.
you know, just a moment to connect and touch base.
Sure.
It sounded, and I appreciate so much you sharing that, Melissa. I think that the thing about holidays that brings us the most is nostalgia sometimes and memories.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they're not recent memories, it was 20 years ago, it can still hold so true to that day. I think there's a little bit of that in what you're saying. That's pretty cool to hear. I appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah, and then St. Patrick's Day is you know, green, and I love the color green.
Okay, that was my next question. Why does St. Patrick's Day seem like the oddball in there? Yeah.
Okay, real quick, I had a question for both of you. Is St. Patrick's Day a major holiday?
Huh.
Because Mel said they were kind of major ones, but all the other four, she said, yeah, those are big. Everyone celebrates, but I don't know. I don't know if I consider that personally a big holiday. Well, apparently Melissa does.
I would put it right there. Like, if it's not a major holiday, right at the
it's
cusp.
On the line. Okay.
Like, right on the line.
Okay.
If it isn't, it should be. Or it will be if it is. Or I would say it is in, like, especially certain areas.
Okay.
You know, where I'm from, like, we're in Chicago, it's a huge holiday.
Oh, yes.
Like,
they turn the river green.
You might get in trouble with this podcast playing there in Chicago, like, even at the point. I don't know.
Oh, that Mayor Daley, I tell you.
It was really big in La Crosse, too, which is close to where I grew up. And and I don't know, we made a big deal out of it in school. Everybody wore green.
That's cool.
You know, the Kish and the I'm Irish.
Yes, yes.
One day of the week, or one day of the year.
I had no green growing up, and I bought a green shirt one year just so I wouldn't get pinched anymore.
That's a weird custom, by
it is
the way.
Weird.
That's
it
very
is weird.
Strange.
That's weird.
I think so, anyway.
Those are great, Melissa. Thank you so much for those. Seth,
what
are
your... Well, and then Halloween candy.
You
need more. And dressing up. Actually, that's bigger for me. The dressing
costumes
up
are always fun.
And the candy. But, yeah.
That's interesting. That was my question, was going to be what it was about Halloween. Was it the dressing up or the candy or the celebrating? That's a good answer.
Yeah. Very nice. I guess I'll accept those.
How does it look to your list, Seth?
Oh, okay. Now I got to do it. You know, I had trouble with this. I honestly did because I'm like, I have so much baggage with so many, you know, holidays. Mm. I'm trying to find ones that don't have something that I can say. So, I mean, it's almost more that I list the ones I don't like.
Right.
But then the ones that are really big. At this point, I think Halloween is number one for me.
Okay.
Because like Melissa, I love the dressing up and the candy, but more the decorating. I love putting up, you know, the spooky stuff. That's for whatever reason, I just get a thrill out of it. Plus, if I ever throw parties, my favorite parties to throw are Halloween.
Oh.
Because then you can do like fun games and stuff that you probably wouldn't do at normal parties.
Those are
things you can get away with other things kind of stuff. That's probably why I like Halloween so much. I think number two is Thanksgiving. Because it's simple.
Oh.
It's just a meal. You know, basically, you know, it's people getting together, having a meal, and that's it. And then you just chat or watch TV or whatever, something like that.
I love that.
There's not as much ritual as there is with Christmas.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Christmas is still on the list. It's going down, though.
Oh?
I have to be very specific about why it's going down. I think it's number three on my list. But if you are married to a pastor... Christmas is very different.
Yeah. Yeah.
I suppose.
And because there's so much time that's spent doing other things than stuff for, you know, getting ready for your own family stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, forget Christmas Eve.
Oh, yeah.
You can't
do
anything on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, I imagine.
Because I like for instance, this year, two services, one at 4, one at 7. So our whole evening is at church, you know, so we're doing that the whole time. And then, you know, if we're trying to have a meal or anything, there's no time to do it. So that's why I have a little different perspective on it because of what Beth does.
Understandable.
And so there's.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I get frustrated because, you know, I can't, you know, we can't do more things, just the, you know, the family part of it together.
Yeah.
And because we live far away from the rest of our family, my parents, her dad,
that's right.
My sister is a little bit closer, but again, it's still not easy to, you know, get together all the time for stuff. So
for many of us, especially somebody like me that hasn't been around a lot of that, it's nice insight into that world and a little more empathy towards the people that do that for a living. I will say it also gives you a built-in excuse. Yeah. Oh, I can't come and see. Oh, I wanted to come and see the new baby. Yeah. I wanted to come and see. I can't. You know, my hands are tied. So sorry.
Very good point. Very good point. Moving on. The 4th of July is probably number four.
Nice.
And that's because it's one of those days where everyone seems to, if it's, you know, the weather's good, everyone spends the whole day outside.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. Plus, we do at the church, we have a thing that we do. You know, we have for the fireworks and everything, we sell bratwurst and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I love doing things like that, where we get to, you know, have people come up and give, you know, and sell food and stuff. I love doing that. So that's part of the reason why I really like the 4th of July.
It's a good one.
Yeah, a summer celebration.
Summer ones are always better. And that's like the big summer one. There's really not a bunch of other ones in summer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's unless you're just going to have like a summer party kind of thing. But the 4th seems to be the big day for in the summer for parties. New Year's long ago lost its charm for me. I used to work at a convention center, and a local hospital had their big fundraiser there every year. And they took over the entire thing. And when you're running the bar department on a night like that, it's insane. Mm-hmm. I'm there till like 4 in the morning kind of thing. That really took the fun out of New Year's for me because I did it many years in a row. So it's like, I'll stay up and you know, all right, we'll do the countdown. And then I'll kiss Beth and then, okay, we're done.
Yeah,
I'm done. I don't need any more.
12:01.
So, I don't drink anything. So it's like, that's pointless too. So, But I'll put it on the list just because there are certain things. If I can get together with friends and play games and stuff, that is fun.
Yeah.
That is fun. I can handle that.
Hmm.
Yeah, I would say similar to you, Seth. When I was in the band, New Year's Eve was not as fun of a holiday because it was mostly work and
a lot of
intoxicated people that didn't include me. But it's come back. I like it now because I get to spend time with friends.
Yeah, that's always the better. Just small gatherings, yeah.
Was that your five? Or did you give us five?
Yep, that was my five.
So. Okay. Mm-hmm. Those are both great lists. They're both wrong, but they're both great lists. No, I'm joking. Obviously, there's no wrong answers to this. You could have said Arbor Day number five, Arbor Day number
That's
four,
number
Arbor
six,
Day
my,
number
as
three.
As a matter of fact, Arbor Day is,
Nice. Looking at my top five, I've got New Year's Eve at number five.
Okay.
In part, really because of nostalgia. I would say once I turned 21, like all of you and everybody else listening, you know, you go to the bars or you do things like that. Drinking becomes a little more of play. I've had some good ones there. Mm-hmm. But when I first moved here and it became, you know, met my best friend, Chris, we were, you know, in junior high, or I mean, in grade school and then junior high. And those first like 6-7 New Year's we spent together were always the same. We just got together, watched movies, hung out, got to stay up later than we usually got to, you know, maybe watch the drop, the ball drop or something, watched movies that we were too young to watch, you know, and it was really where we built our friendship. Those early days.
Very nice.
And when I there's never going to be a New Year's, I don't think that I'm not going to immediately get brought back to those days. Mm-hmm. Modern day New Year's Eve, very late, low key for me. Still like seeing friends and doing everything. And I love the, what the year, I love the idea that we're all almost on the same page, reviewing the past year, looking towards the next year to make it better. There's something about that as a world, as a society, kind of like, not world, but as a country, kind of puts us all on the same page that I think is kind of cool. It reminds me almost like of the Olympics, sort of, in a way.
It's like a built-in fresh start for everybody. Yeah.
Number four, 4th of July and Cinco de Mayo. That is a tie. I do love the 4th of July for all the things you guys were touching on. And certainly it being a summer holiday and that. I'm a big fan of our country, so really like that part of it. Cinco de Mayo has a little bit more of an interesting thing. One, I grew up around a lot of Mexicans growing up. And it's just the day was always a very special day to me in my family because the way we were incorporated into these other families. And what it means for Mexico, a sister country of ours.
Absolutely.
If you know the story of Cinco de Mayo, it is, you know, it's David and Goliath. It's everything that you could ask for as far as a war story goes, as far as a David and Goliath and everything. And I think there's something that everybody can pull from that. But really, all this is really, you know, means nothing because my oldest daughter was born on Cinco de Mayo. Bria was born on Cinco de Mayo.
Well, that makes it special.
And my little brother was born just a couple of days after Cinco de Mayo. Okay. So that's really where a lot of that stems from.
Very nice.
Number three on my list is Rosh Hashanah. And for my Gentile friends out there, Rosh Hashanah is the beginning, essentially the Jewish New Year.
Yes.
It's the beginning of the New Year. And again, very similar things to what I was saying before. What it means in my family and the nostalgia, a lot of that. And just liking the starting over kind of thing. I love the idea of, you know, not trying to skate past the past year, but just saying, okay, it had its place. Now I'm moving on, for better or for worse, the good stuff, the bad stuff. Today is a new day.
Yep.
Number two on my list, Hanukkah.
Hanukkah.
Come on. How can I not, right? I mean, Hanukkah's such a fun holiday. It's one where it's one of the few Jewish holidays that everybody knows about. So,
true.
That means something, but it's... I was just lighting the candles yesterday with my mom and hit over the head with nostalgia again.
Wow.
About with my brother, my sister, and all of us doing this as kids. But it's always been like, I don't have a lot of things to bring out the faith in me, the spiritual in me. And I have all the respect in the world for people that do have those things. I don't know what's wrong with my brain and my heart. I just am too scientific. I've never really been able to match faith, like the faith in my family, to that kind of thing. But I do love what it can do for others and what it brings out in others and what it tends to bring out in me. And Hanukkah is one of those ones where, just similar to Cinco de Mayo, I think everybody can pull from that story and take something to, you know, to take to the bank with.
You know, I think I think Hanukkah might be moving up in my holiday thing because there's no attachment. I don't have to worry about the church stuff. I could just look, have fun with Hanukkah.
You say a little prayer, light some candles, boom. You
there
know,
you go.
You're done.
Have some latkes. You know.
Yes. You hug your mother and then you're done. And number one on my list, Arbor Day. No, it is Halloween, of course.
Halloween.
Of course, Halloween. If you've listened to me 5 seconds, you know how much I love Halloween. For all the reasons you guys said, if I could just throw in there as well,
I love holidays that everybody's involved. Kids, parents, single people, married people, like everybody can have a piece in Halloween and enjoy a part of it. There's a little part of me that cringes a little the more and more we go along. It seems like adults are stealing it from kids. But I do think that at this point, it's still kind of 50-50, really, okay. and really a holiday for everybody.
Right.
Well, and I don't think we can completely steal it from kids because they pull off the costumes so much better than the adults do,
they
hands
do.
Down.
So they look so much cuter, too.
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
I'm telling
right.
you, kids,
very.
They got it.
Very.
I find a couple. There's a couple of observations that I just had here. One, three of us, Halloween, pretty high on the list.
Yep.
Theater people, not a surprise at all.
No.
Theater people like to dress up. That's one of the reasons why we do it, right?
Yes.
So getting a chance to put on costumes,
we
will always do it. And the other thing is here, no one mentioned Valentine's Day. And again, that does not surprise me.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't even think of that. Oh.
Because, again, I think about, you know, the history, you know, like you and Melissa have had with relationships and everything.
Yeah.
Thankfully, you're both in very good ones now, which is very cool, and I celebrate that with both of you. But, I mean, I was there, too, at one point. The single guy, you know, it's Valentine's Day seems to be mocking single people, you know?
It does.
It really does.
And I don't think...
Have you ever met anybody who likes Valentine's Day, though? Really?
Maybe you're right. I really haven't. Yeah, that's such a good point. I hadn't even thought about that.
I mean, maybe little kids,
mm-hmm.
because they get candy randomly.
Yeah. They do get some more candy.
True.
Anytime candy is good, right? But man, you're so right. I've never heard anyone say, Valentine's Day is my favorite holiday.
Yeah, that's a
ever.
Really
the
strong
The only good
point.
Thing about it is chocolate.
Truth.
The darker, the better.
I do immediately, I cringed, though, with you when you guys were talking about kids may enjoy it. Because I remember everybody, you know, making cards. And my mailbox, my Valentine's box being very dead. Because usually I was a new kid in school. I was a new
kid
in
class.
Yeah, nobody knew me. So they didn't even know to make cards for me or anything like that. That's a good one. And the fact that I think all three of us had Halloween as our number one.
Yeah.
Melissa, did you have Halloween at number one?
No, I had it at five. Because
oh, you did
I
have five.
Oh, yes,
you did.
The order you guys did. Yeah. But... That's okay. It was still in my top five.
Exactly.
Halloween, and that kind of leads me, segue into a strange holiday movies.
Okay.
And my favorite holiday movie, period, has always been Nightmare Before Christmas. Tends to be a little bit of a more oddball choice. Not your traditional Christmas movie or anything like that. There's some people that would push back on it even being a Christmas movie. so we'll use that as a segue into our next segment. We'll take a break right here, and we'll get into when we come back, strange, weird, fun holiday movies.
Right here on Director's Cut.
On the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Finds Klesman left corner. He'll try a three. Good. Max Klesman is not shy here today.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Good taste to Klesman. Another three on the way. Good again. Takes the three left corner. He nailed it again. Max Klesman on fire. Timeout. Shaka Smart. Slips to Iguodaro. Bobbled it. Turnover. Here comes Hepburn. 2-on-1. Hestor to his right. The lob. The dunk. Hepburn to A.J. Starr for the flush, and the Badgers lead by 15.
Runs at the wall, rotates to Starr, baseline left. Here's A.J. goes up, slam dunk, count it, and a foul. And the Wisconsin Badgers knock off third-ranked Marquette as they storm the floor at the Kohl Center in Madison. On a day where the home team never trailed, the Badgers win it by 11.
On Wisconsin.
Welcome back to Director's Cut, Christmas edition, Xmas edition, if you will.
Sure.
We've got Melissa, Seth, all here with us on the show. It's a fun one, and we're going to get into now stranger, different, more, you know, on the off-beaten path of Christmas movies, if you will. Mm. There's some big ones out there. I mentioned before the break, Nightmare Before Christmas. I think Scrooged is a good kind of one of those movies, but not maybe as different or weird as we're talking about. I want to kind of go around the room here and go through some of these. I know, Melissa, you had a couple you were going to share, including one that you just recently did some very good journalistic work on.
Well, in you know, efforts to be a contributing member of this episode of Director's Cut, I did some research, and I was trying to find a recent holiday movie that... we could make fun of. So, you know, Die Hard gets so much controversy this time of year. As I was looking through movies this year, I found one called Love Hard. And, you know, I immediately thought, okay, this is going to be somehow connected to Die Hard. Well, it's actually not. And after watching the trailer, I totally want to watch this movie.
I'm just looking it up right now. It actually doesn't have a horrible cast.
Well, it's okay. So some of us may be able to relate to this better than others, but it's actually about a dating app relationship where a girl flies across the country to meet a guy that she's been talking to online, and it turns out she's been catfished.
Oh.
He's not the guy that he was in the pictures. You know, it's a different picture.
Right.
Mm. She meets the guy. He's totally not that guy, but he knows the guy, and he is going to help the guy fall in love with her.
Oh my god!
In a week.
Weird. Okay.
It's a take.
It's
on
weird.
Cyrano de Bergerac.
Also,
yeah.
It's a take on that. Yeah.
The trailer was awesome, and this might be the movie that I tell my boyfriend we're watching. Neither one of us are rom-com people,
mm-hmm.
but we found each other online, so you know that's kind of funny.
Nice, yep. Nice.
And I think it's going to showcase in some ways the difficulties that guys have on dating apps, which is very true, and you don't realize it really until you get into this world of online dating, which is absolutely ridiculous.
Mm. Especially during the holidays.
Oh, gosh, yes, I'm sure. That's got to make it worse.
Yeah.
But I actually want to watch this movie, Love Hard. It was made in 2021.
Oh, so it is really recent. Wow.
It is recent. And it looks really cute. It's on Netflix. And, you know, I think I might have to check it out. I was expecting to be able to just totally bomb on this movie, and I can't.
Right? It's funny when that happens.
Gotcha. That's great.
It's got as far as like some of the other movies I've looked at, 57% on Rotten Tomatoes and a 6 out of 10 on IMDb, which is actually pretty good compared to a lot of the other movies I'm looking at. Jimmy O. Yang is in it, and I'm a big fan of his. He's a great young actor. He's a very fun actor. He chooses good movies too, usually.
Oh, good.
So those are some good signs. That's a nice choice, Melissa. I know you had another one we had to reference to.
So my longtime listeners of WFHR will have heard me expostulate multiple times last year on the wonderfulness that is Santa Jaws. So no, this is my ultimate favorite Christmas movie. It's so ridiculous because I'm not a horror person, which this is borderline horror.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like gory, but it was made in 2018. I thought the director was Howie Duin, who directed Lamageddon.
Right.
Turns out it's not.
Aww.
It's directed by Misty Talley, who, I'm sorry, Howie Duin, but she's actually a better director.
Yeah.
But this movie is about a young boy who draws comics, and he draws this character, Santa Jaws, which is a shark with a Christmas hat, and wishes that the shark would kill his family. Well, that's what happens in the movie.
That's dark.
And they have to stop it from happening. And, you know, they have to use, like, Christmas-related things to make it stop. So they're throwing, you know, Christmas ornament bombs at the shark, and it's hilarious. It's actually really well cast.
Okay.
And the director did a great job. I highly recommend it as a solid B Christmas movie.
Nice. Nice.
Many people are looking for newer traditions. Maybe this could be a new tradition for you and your family.
I mean, it did get 4 out of 10 on IMDb.
It did. Almost a 50% watch rating. I watched a trailer for it, and because you've talked about it so much, Melissa, and everything, I actually want to see this movie.
Okay.
But I do have one problem with the movie. There is one overwhelmingly unrealistic part of the movie, of this kid creating a character, drawing it, and it comes to life, and the family having to kill this shark. My issue with this whole story is how the Santa hat stays on its fin no matter what this shark does. Like, that's no way. No way does that set that stay right perfectly on the fin. That,
can't suspend your disbelief
that, that
anymore.
That part blew me.
Can't
do it. Throw me.
Oh, that's the kicker. Okay.
No, I actually
not
can't
the
wait.
The magic to... pen that he draws it with.
Yes. That wasn't unrealistic to me. No, yeah. It's the Santa hat not staying on the whole time. Like, how did that? That can't happen. Actually, it does look fun. I can't wait to try to watch this. It'll be good. Those are really great ones, Melissa. Those are really good.
Excellent.
Seth, did you have any that you can think of?
I do. One of them is not technically a movie.
Mm.
I would say so Santa Shark, you know, borderline horror. You know, we've seen Christmas horror movies, Silent Night, Deadly Night, Black Christmas, all these things, right? If you want to see some horror, go back and watch Christmas cartoons from the 1930s.
Oh, yeah.
Waking Nightmare.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say. If you have seen any of these things, man, it is, you will not sleep after watching the nightmare fuel that this is, man.
Oh, no.
It's horrifying.
I will watch The Shining before I'll watch any of those like classic, like old 60s, 70s like specials. So it was something about the animation and the storyline. There was one about a guy who ate children, basically. Like he was stealing kids to eat them. It was like, I can remember like being 8 or 9, like, I don't think my sister should be watching this. I don't like, we put on the Dark Crystal to lighten the mood.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
It was like...
No, it's just awful. And I mean, it's the strangeness. And to be fair, it's, you know, of some of the cultural things that have not aged well. Let's put it that way, right?
Mm-hmm.
That are in some of these. But man, if you want a scary Christmas, man, watch some of those. Those are just terrifying. I know I've really sold it really well.
For every Charlie Brown Christmas and How the Grinch Stole Christmas, there are those.
There's something out there just like that. So there's a couple of campy ones that are out there that I like, and I owe this completely to Mystery Science Theater 3000, because they have done a couple of Christmas movies over the years, which I'm eternally grateful for. Actually, for those of you out there who watched the Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special, spoiler alert, Kevin Bacon's in it.
Yeah.
And at one point, Kevin Bacon is sitting in his house, you know, waiting for his family to come home, and he's watching something on TV. They cut to it. It's Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. Mm. And for those of you who know MST3K, it was the first Christmas show they did back, I think, in 1991. It is, again, horrifying. Santa Claus, it's terribly acted. The only interesting thing about it in terms of the production itself is that a child, Pia Zadora, is in it.
Yeah.
As she was a little girl, and she was, as a child actor, she was in it as one of the Martian kids. The costumes are terrible. The acting is worse. And it was like, I'm guessing it was a TV thing back in the 60s, I think.
I had this as one of my choices.
Okay.
The quick synopsis: the Martians don't have a Santa Claus, so they decide to steal the one from Earth so that the kids on their planet could have gifts too. However, two children from Earth put an end to the sharing Santa very quickly and bring him back to Earth. Santa is free, but the Martians get no gifts. And all is well in Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.
And it's terrible.
It's like a fever dream of a film.
It really is. It really is. I would recommend watching the MST3K version of it because it's really funny. Also, it has the immortal Christmas classic, A Patrick Swayze Christmas, in it, which should become a standard because it's very classic. And because you can put that in your new, when you go caroling, you can do Patrick Swayze Christmas because it's so true. We all need a little more Patrick Swayze
absolutely,
in our hearts right now.
Absolutely.
At this time of year.
Don't we, though?
Mm-hmm. So that's one of my big ones. They did another episode in the initial run of the show, which is called Santa Claus, that was made in Mexico, badly dubbed, and kind of equates Santa with Jesus, which is very weird.
Ooh.
And Satan is in it as well.
Oh, of course.
Satan plays a very big role in the Santa Claus
Interesting.
Movie.
Interesting.
So, again... I would, again, watch the MST3K version because at least you'll have some comic relief in there. You don't have to watch it straight through. So I would recommend
And you
those.
Don't have to provide the commentary yourself?
No, you don't. Yeah. Unless you want to. I mean, watch it straight up, but I would get your insults ready, get your jokes ready, because you'll be doing that through the whole thing. I'll tell you right now.
So that was definitely one of mine, the Santa Conquers the Martians. Yeah. Great choice. Great one right there. I counter that with Santa with muscles.
Ooh.
You might be wondering, if Santa has all those muscles, what's he doing with all those cookies he collected at 100 million houses in one night? Santa with muscles, Blake Thorne, Hulk Hogan, is a pompous millionaire who made his fortune selling bodybuilding supplements until he hits his head while evading the police in a Santa disguise. When he comes to, he really thinks he is Santa, but with muscles. If you thought Jingle All the Way was a little bit too far-fetched, this movie may be for you. Just might be one you want to think about. That's a classic, I think.
Can we just put out there, Hulk Hogan tried so hard.
He really did.
To be an actor. He tried. He was in multiple movies. He tried so hard. I got to give him credit for trying.
He did.
I looked that movie up, and it did get 5 stars from this person who said, this is the greatest movie I've ever watched. Its writing was brilliant. The stellar acting and effects could go down as the best ever recorded.
Are they being facetious?
Yeah, was that Terry Hogan that
Please
wrote that?
Santa with Muscles is an instant classic.
It was his kids, I think.
It was definitely one of his kids. Definitely. I have no doubt in my mind it was one of his kids.
That's funny.
I throw in there Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas. I think that's more of a Christmas special, but
yeah,
that's more of an eclectic one. A little maybe more popular one, too. How about Santa Claus, a.k.a. Santa Claus versus the Devil?
Oh, see, maybe that's the one I was just talking about.
I was wondering.
It's the same one. Yeah. I bet you it is.
Low-budget 1959 Mexican fantasy film. Santa and Satan battle out for Christmas. Santa wants to make it all cheery and happy. Satan, not so much. Horrible costumes.
Some
of the worst costumes in film history are in that movie. I think that can be said for a lot of Christmas movies, even the good ones sometimes.
Yep.
Really bad costumes.
Okay, so one of the things that's really weird about that movie, Santa, first of all, not on the North Pole. Yeah. He lives in a cloud. That floats above the earth in a giant castle.
Of course he does.
Which he's got all these interesting technological devices, including he can look through a telescope, except the telescope is a giant eye.
Oh, wow. Oh, weird.
Terrifying eye.
Yeah.
And there's like a translator of big red lips that move. Oh, no, it's so wrong.
No.
And the reindeer are all mechanical it's weird.
What were they
Wow.
I was just about to ask a question that I could have answered very easily. What were they thinking in the 70s? You know what? Never mind. No. I feel pretty confident we all know what
we
they
all
were thinking
know what was going on in the 70s. Yes.
My honorable mention is actually a movie on the outside looking in a little bit, The Hebrew Hammer. Yes,
First
I know.
Of all, awesome title.
It's such a
great title.
It is not a Christmas movie, obviously, but it does actually involve Christmas quite a bit. It stars Adam Goldberg as the Hebrew Hammer. The great Judy Greer is in it. Andy Dick plays a crazy Santa, or Santa's kid, I think. You got Mario Van Peebles in it.
Oh, my gosh.
Rachel Dratch. Just an incredible cast.
That's amazing.
And actually a really, I think a stand-up movie. I actually love the movie. Now, obviously, I am biased as all get out. I've waited my whole life to see a Jewish action star, and Adam Goldberg actually does a pretty decent job in a comedic way. It's got some really funny stuff in it, but one of the things that I found so cool about the movie, when it first came out on Comedy Central back in 02, 03 or something, I had people that would reach out to me and say, oh, I didn't know that you guys did this on Hanukkah. Or this was a part of your religion, or what, that kind of thing. And I was like, that little movie got that question to happen.
Awesome.
It was kind of cool. And again, if you're looking for this time of year, a fun movie to watch that maybe, isn't one that you've seen a million times, that's kind of what we're looking at here.
Yeah.
That is one of the first ones I would suggest. It's on Redbox. You can find it on Amazon Prime. If you have not seen it, Hebrew Hammer, do yourself a favor, watch it, then call your mother.
I'm going to call
it
quick.
It really doesn't look half bad.
No, well, that sounds pretty good.
It's pretty, it is pretty good.
I'm going to just shift gears real quick here to finish out this segment. And this is something I thought of just now. I'm just now kind of curious about what your guys' favorite holiday special is. Not movie,
Ooh.
But holiday special.
Ooh.
TV special that you remember from growing up. What do you got, Melissa?
We didn't watch them growing up.
Oh, you didn't? Okay.
No, because Christmas was strictly a Christian holiday.
It was all religious. Okay.
I mean, we did get to watch, like, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Yeah, exactly.
Only because my mom liked it when she was a kid.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I see how it is. Have you been able to see any of those since then, since you've been an adult?
I don't really watch them.
Yeah.
The one go-to is probably Rudolph.
Rudolph, which is a classic, by the way, and it's one of my favorites too. So I can throw that out there. But that's really interesting. How about you, James? Did you have anything? Really or not really?
You know, I was just kind of real quickly trying to run through my head because I feel like the answer is kind of easy. But you know, the Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
Any of the Charlie Brown specials, especially the Christmas one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't have hardly anything growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And we certainly didn't have a TV to play, you know, local TVs.
Right, watching TV, yeah.
But one of the people in our high-rise on our floor did. And we got to go in there and watch, you know, TV. Oh. And it's how we saw a lot of games. And it's like how we saw a lot of the big moments that happened in the 80s, Hands Across America, that kind of stuff. And one time we got invited over and Charlie Brown Christmas was on. And I had never seen it. And there was something about the kids, like, trying to pull off their own Christmas. And just a bunch of kids getting together with other friends. It wasn't a family thing. It was just friends. And that, you know, they grab a little of this and a little of that, and Charlie Brown's Christmas tree, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a poor person's Christmas, man. That's the Christmas. That's the only Christmas I knew growing up.
Right.
And there was not a lot of, like, relatability for people like me growing up. Like, what we see on TV, that's relatable. I can relate to that. Usually it was Different Strokes. It was Family Ties. It was, like, a lot of that stuff. That special was actually, in a weird way, one of the most relatable things to a lot of us project kids. And it was such a good special.
Well, that really makes sense. And I had never thought of it that way.
It's weird to kind of go all the way to make it serious, of course, like I always do. That's my game.
You know, there's some serious parts in it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, no, you're right. It had a message to tell.
I never thought it was such a bad little tree.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
No, I liked it, too.
Yes, that's a classic. I was one of those kids that watched every one I could when I was growing up. So all of them I have a special place in my heart for. Rudolph was always a big treat. Of course, Charlie Brown was a big one. Frosty by Jimmy Durante, with Jimmy Durante narrating that one.
My dad's classic, favorite.
Because I love Jimmy Durante. I'm trying to think of some of the other ones. But I'm also a big fan of, like, sitcom Christmas and Halloween specials.
Yes.
Any kind of a holiday special on those, I always love those. Those are some of my favorites.
If you're gonna,
do you love them all year round or just at Christmas?
Oh, you mean the Christmas specials themselves, those episodes?
Right.
Oh yeah, I watch them anytime. Yeah.
Okay. Just checking.
Yes.
This time of year, I usually tend to watch, you know, Nightmare Before Christmas, if Scrooge is on, if Elf is on. But every Christmas since it came out, I watched The Simpsons roasting on an open fire. It was the first episode of The Simpsons.
That's right.
It's a Christmas episode.
It is.
It's and it's where the Simpsons get Santa's little helper, their dog. It is such a good episode. It always brings me back. The animation doesn't hold up, maybe, but there's something about it that just makes me warm inside, and I love it.
It's an interesting piece of history because if you look at where the show started and where it ended up, it's really, the evolution is really remarkable. But you're right.
Yeah.
That was a great episode to start on because
it's a very family episode.
It is a very family episode. Yep.
Community, the great TV show Community, has Abed's Uncontrollable Christmas, which was a classic episode. It was all animation.
Ooh, I'm looking forward to that. I haven't gotten that far in the seasons yet.
Oh, it's so good. One of my favorite shows, top 10 favorite shows of all time, Community.
Nice.
Such a good
one.
And on the other end of things, South Park has a couple of really good Christmas episodes that I probably can't even talk about even on this show.
I know their first one, which was one of their biggest ones that they ever did. I think that might have been, was that, they didn't premiere on that episode, did they?
No,
but
it was early
in
there. Yeah, it was early. Oh, no, you're right, though. The very first, like, before it even got to Comedy Central, the first thing Matt and Trey did was do a Christmas thing, but it was all Oklahoma Christmas. It was Santa versus Satan, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, right.
And it was all done really like, and they just did this as a holiday card.
Yeah.
And some producers saw it and said, hey, that's really good. You guys should do something with it. And they turned it into
South Park. Yeah. Of all things. That's crazy.
Honorable mention, Golden Girls holiday episode, 'Twas the Nightmare Before Christmas.
honorable mention.
Okay, that's a good one. Yeah.
I have another honorable mention because it was my mother's favorite Christmas special, and it was the Cinderella that they would play every year on TV.
Oh yes. Mm. Yes, I know exactly. I think I know which one you're talking about. Yes, because I think we watched the same one.
That's a good one.
That's right. Yeah. I'm gonna do a deep dive here. Mm. For those, and this is not something I've mentioned a lot, not because I'm ashamed of it or anything. Yeah, it's just it doesn't come up very much. So most people know that. Listen, Mystery Science Theater 3000, favorite television show of all time. That's for me. It is number two. Sabrina the Teenage Witch is number two.
Whoa!
Really?
Yes, it is. Part of that is there is an MST connection there. After he left the show, Frank Conniff, who played TV's Frank, became a writer on Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Right. And I can pinpoint Frank jokes. I know exactly which ones are his.
Right on.
I can tell you, yep, that's a Frank joke, because he kind of carried it over.
Yeah.
It was a very, at least in the first few seasons, it was a very offbeat show. It was not something that you saw a lot on television, especially around a teenage girl.
Yeah.
And to this day, of course, I'm a big fan of Melissa Joan Hart because she did a great job with that. I've always been admired her work.
She's great.
She is awesome. But they had a couple of really fun Christmas episodes. And, of course, they're witches, so Halloween was, you know, bigger. But,
sure.
But they had some fun Christmas ones that I still like, including the first one they did because they had some great guest stars. Dana Gould.
Oh, wow.
The comedian. I don't know if you know who Dana Gould is, but he's a great stand-up comedian.
Oh, yeah.
Done some cartoon voices and stuff like that. He was on the show and did a fun little part, and they had a couple of other crazy guest stars and everything. Again, it's a strange one. I know. People are like, huh?
That's what Sabrina the Teenage Witch?
So, yes, that's not only one of my favorite shows, one of my couple of my favorite Christmas shows as well.
Good stuff.
Nice.
Good stuff.
They actually had a show where, who was it? Another famous person played Santa, like a really nasty, not a nasty Santa, but like a lazy Santa. Mm. But I can't remember who it was. It was a very good actor, too, and I can't remember, but I'd have to look it up.
Yeah.
So, I think we've exhausted those topics, everybody.
Yes.
I think we're going to move on here, take another quick break, and when we come back to Director's Cut, it's going to be some celebrity Christmas albums that time has forgotten. But we haven't. We are going to dig them up and dust them off right here on Director's Cut.
Locally grown radio, WFHR programming, is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Snow brings thoughts of ways to stay busy in Wisconsin during the winter. And if you anticipate hitting the slopes, are you surprised to learn there are more than 36 ski resorts across the state? It ranges from Wilmot Mountain, which opened in 1938 in Kenosha County, to Mount La Crosse Ski Area with one of the longest runs in Wisconsin. Granite Peak offers 58 runs outside Wausau, and Wild Mountain Ski Area and its 7 lifts near Hayward. Now, do you know which of those resorts on the highest slope? The answer coming up. Recreational skiing started in the Midwest. The Lost Ski Areas Project reports the first documentation of actual downhill skiers happened in Beloit in 1841. So which resort sits on the highest slope today? It's Granite Peak near Wausau and boasts 400 acres at a 700-foot vertical drop. The fun and history of skiing is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Locally grown radio, WFHR programming, is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows around 17. Tonight, under cloudy skies, winds out of the west around 5 miles per hour. Tomorrow, high of 33. Lows around 22 tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 22.
And welcome back, everybody, to Director's Cut, Xmas Eve edition, or Xmas Day edition, really, of the show, which is really just a bunch of deleted scenes from the morning show.
Yeah, basically.
Because we've got Melissa hanging out with Seth and I today, and we do appreciate the time. Mel, thanks so much for hanging out with us.
Oh, absolutely. This has been so much fun, you guys.
Wanted to wrap up on celebrity Christmas albums. might have forgotten about. Got some interesting ones here. Now, this is a big list, and we're just going to kind of gut through some of these. Now, some, maybe not so much we may have forgotten about, but nothing too crazy. Wrapped in Red from Kelly Clarkson from 2013. Taylor Swift back in 2007 had the Taylor Swift Holiday Collection. Very creative name. That was a Target exclusive kind of thing.
Okay.
Ooh,
so there's Target. There's that kind of stuff in here. And then there is, from 1997, RuPaul's Ho Ho Ho. And
no, she didn't.
It would keep going with Slay Bellas in 2015. And then nice. Christmas Party in 2018. Three. RuPaul, I don't know if they're all albums or not, but three songs at least.
Christmas stuff. Oh, my God.
That's something.
That's awesome.
Hanson had two Christmas albums.
Two? I can see one?
Yeah.
Two, really?
The band that only had one hit had two Christmas albums. Snowed In 1997, and finally It's Christmas from 2017.
Wow.
I think I heard some songs from that album.
Oh, really? Oh, my God. Yeah. I'm going to have to look it up now.
Yeah.
I'm just curious.
Yeah.
Super curious.
Interesting. Santa Claus Lane from Hilary Duff in 2002.
Okay. All right.
I don't know anything about that one.
She was a Disney star.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, but she, I guess she was a pretty good singer, too. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think her character on her show was a singer.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Okay. This one, I'm not sure how I feel about this one. Destiny's Child in 2001 came out with 8 Days of Christmas. And I feel a little like the 8 days thing is kind of like copywritten. I feel a little bit like, I mean, come on. There's all this talk about people trying to steal Christmas or something like that. Here you are stealing from my one holiday here. 8 days, Hanukkah, they're kind of attached. You got 12 days of Christmas, 12, sure.
Yeah.
It's just 8 days, Destiny's Child.
That's
come
weird.
On, Beyonce.
Very confusing.
I'm sure it has a point, actually. Yeah, I have no idea.
Oh, man.
Number six on this list, in 2011, Justin Bieber came out with Under the Mistletoe.
Justin Bieber.
Mm. Yeah.
That's all we can say.
That's all we can say.
Really, it's pretty bad when the punchline is your name. Like, I feel
yeah,
bad.
Exactly.
I feel a little bad for that, but at the same time, I mean, it's going to get worse going on here, so. Number five, a Christmas album from the great Barbra Streisand from 1967.
Now, that makes all the sense in the world.
Sure.
It does. That one, absolutely.
Iconic voice, iconic singer, one of the most recognizable voices and singers of all mm-hmm. time. Also mm-hmm. a Jew.
I was going to say, which is pretty good, you know.
So her coming out with a Christmas album was kind of seen like, huh. Especially in 67, a lot of people like weren't too really sure about this.
Yep.
It turns out this would be the start of a lot of people like that, like Neil Diamond mm-hmm. and other Jewish mm-hmm. popular artists coming out with Christmas albums.
Yeah, and I think I know a pretty good reason for that. How many Jews live in the United States?
Yeah.
That celebrate Hanukkah?
Yeah, yeah.
And then everyone else.
Yes.
That
yes.
like celebrates Christmas, including lots of Jews.
Right.
I think it's math.
Yeah.
Simple math.
Yeah.
The answers to all your questions, money.
Money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Money.
Yeah. I don't begrudge anybody that
no.
either, by the way. No. Now, this is an interesting one, only because I just started to hear some music from it because of Seth. A Holiday for Swing from Seth MacFarlane from 2014.
Mm-hmm.
I know Seth put a little bit of Seth MacFarlane mm-hmm. in our bumper music
yep.
for our Christmas songs. I've heard a little bit of Seth sing over the years. Great crooner.
Oh, yeah, he is mm-hmm. he is excellent. I actually got his first album when it came out, just as a curiosity. Mm-hmm. I was like, mm-hmm. wow, this is interesting. This is him like as serious as Seth MacFarlane gets.
Okay.
Because he takes it very, I mean, they put that first album together, and I'm sure he's done it since, he made sure it was a live group. He said he wanted it to be as authentic as possible to that sound.
Mm.
And I got to tell you, his records sound great because of all the care that he puts into them. So, and he is a very good singer. So it's some interesting stuff.
He grew up idolizing all the crooners.
Yes.
It makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. The rest of this list gets a little muddy.
Okay.
Like number three, Merry Christmas, Little Mama. The mixtape from Chance the Rapper and Jeremiah from 2016.
Ooh.
I will admit, journalistically, big fan of Chance the Rapper.
Okay.
Big fan. Mm-hmm. Now, Chance in his kind of went had got to a point in his career because he's done something that nobody else had done. He's never had a studio deal. He's never been on a major label.
Really?
And he's still one of the more recognizable names in the game. He did all that from the ground up, doing it all himself with friends and mixtapes and everything.
Wow.
So for him to come out with a Christmas mixtape is kind of a little full circle sort of thing.
Makes sense. Wow, that's great.
Not your mom and dad's Christmas album. I'll tell you that right out the gate.
Put it out there.
You definitely want to listen to that before playing it for friends and relatives, especially the older friends and relatives.
Okay, makes sense.
Might need some censoring.
Yeah. This next one, incredible singer, rapper, great musician, but boy, it has not aged well. CeeLo's magic moment, CeeLo Green Christmas from 2012.
Oh, and I love CeeLo Green.
I used to love him too. Yeah, he was great, but some bad things that CeeLo did, and that album has not aged well.
Yeah, yeah.
But I did want to rap on, I would say, I don't think it's too far-fetched to say, the William Shatner of our generation, guys. And that is David Hasselhoff.
Oh, The Night Before Christmas?
Yep, The Night Before Christmas. Oh, the David Hasselhoff album from 2004 comes at number one on this BuzzFeed list.
Okay.
Wow.
Are you familiar with this one, Melissa?
Oh, well, it popped up on the list that I found and was looking at, so that's good.
So looking at the list of the tracks on this album, and there's about 14 on here, it's all the classics. You know, he's doing everyone, Silent Night, Deck the Halls, Joy to the World, which I'm having a hard time even just saying these words outside. But then he does Feliz Navidad. and I have never listened to anything off of this. I don't know. I've never heard any of these songs or anything like that. There is a part of me, curiosity-wise, that does want to listen to like snippets of these just to hear what it's like. Because
I can't imagine him.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
It's what we were taught, trained, and told to do.
It could be for anything. Helping a friend move.
Listening to a fellow veteran for hours at any hour of the day.
Or just simply making time for people. A neighbor, a loved one, or even a stranger.
We're often the first to help others. There's no question about it.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
Perhaps it's time to do for yourself what you would do for others.
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
A tree can be a warrior, battling global challenges with greater courage. A tree can be a solution, cleaning our air, supporting our communities, and protecting our wildlife. A tree can be noble, growing hope in every corner of the world. That's why now is the time for trees. Millions of trees. Join our planting movement at arborday.org.
Hey everybody, glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets with nowhere to go. I didn't think I'd survive. But I did ask for help, and Covenant House was there for me.
1 in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year. For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there.
Covenant House helped me break the cycle of homelessness in my family. They gave me the love that I needed.
Over 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed tonight. When youth who are experiencing homelessness have a hot meal, a safe place to sleep, medical care, and love, they can overcome heartbreaking challenges and have a brighter future.
They just really genuinely just wanted to help me succeed, and I'm succeeding. I'm a speaker, I'm an author. Covenant House really helped me and really helped mold me into the woman I am today.
If you or someone you love is asking for help, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. As Israel intensifies its attacks in Gaza today, aid organizations are warning that civilians are starving there. The latest on the war from CBS's Christian Benavides.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken defended a move by the Biden administration to bypass Congress to sell nearly 14,000 rounds of tank ammunition to Israel while a foreign aid package is stalled.
A small portion of what has been requested is going through on an emergency basis.
A new CBS News poll shows most Americans disapprove of President Biden's handling of the Israel-Hamas war, with few thinking his administration's actions are bringing things closer to a peaceful resolution.
And President Biden will meet with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky at the White House on Tuesday in an attempt to secure more aid to fight off the Russian invaders. White House Budget Director Shalonda Young on CBS's Face the Nation